Welcome to TPW Finance, where I'm joined by Mark Oswald, who's a strategist at ADM Investor Services. How are you today, Mark?
I'm very well, thank you.
You spent all night watching the by-elections and this morning enjoying the RBS results?
Yes, it's been fun here in the UK. Certainly, the RBS results, 58 billion cumulative losses since 2008. One does wonder in the long run. Well, you can. I suppose it's dual aspect because it ties in with the election quite, with the by-elections quite nicely, and on the other hand, also with the whole Brexit scenario. Because I was watching a program the other day on made by CNN about the 80s, and it happened to be a specific section on the whole Ivan Bursky, Michael Milken mis-selling of junk bonds things. And there was a senator quoted back then who said, if we had capital punishment for these for financial crimes, these people should go to the chair. And I think when you look at something like RBS and these huge losses and the huge amount of taxpayers' money which has been poured into it, you can see why people are so unhappy with what one called the vested interests in the government. No one's been sent to prison because of anything to do with any of these around the world. This isn't just specific to the UK. And you can see why there is so much truck with populism at the moment, because people really sort of look at it and say, well, yeah, these people just carry on getting away with murder and we carry on having to pay for it. So it's little wonder that there's so much unrest in the world.
Yeah, but it's not even. Yeah, but it's not even like that, because nobody's even questioning it. I mean, that's the thing. It's just, oh, RBS has lost money, and it's. I think it's the statistic was 23 billion taxpayer money has been lost. That money could have been used for anything. Building.
There are a lot of things it could be used for, as we know.
Education, the NHS,
roads,
things like that. And it's not been used for that. No. But there's no platform to complain.
No, there isn't any.
And there's no journalist, there's no politician who's going to take it on, is going to take that cause and say, I'm going to fight for this. Not Theresa May, not Philip Hammond, nobody.
And the sad part of it is with the opposition in basically in terminal decline. I mean, for a party which has basically been in charge of the Copeland constituency for 80 years, since 1935, to lose the seat is a sign that we don't actually have a proper opposition in this country. And while Mrs. May and her government may be very happy about that, it's actually not very good for the general public. There should be far more debate about what's actually going on, because that's actually what fosters good policy in the long run. There shouldn't be just, we're going to do this and that is it.
But it seems to be social media and these it's a bit like with the Trump visit, there's a petition. Mm. Yeah, petitions and social media are the opposition. So the people are literally, yeah. with their little clicks on the mouse, and there's nobody in Parliament at all.
No, which is a tragic condemnation of the whole political apparatus in this country and across Europe and indeed in the USA.
Right, just speaking, I mean, you touched on Europe there. We've seen the euro rebound from just around below 105 on the basis that Marine Le Pen may not get in or will not get in, and we'll have a centrist-type person in there, I think there's a coalition of sorts being built there. Is that really going to last? Is that something which is credible?
Well, I think one has to actually look at the confluence of what's actually happened this week. We've had a couple of different things. There was definitely relief when Mr. Bayrou's decided to back Mr. Macron, and that seemed to make Mrs. Le Pen's chances somewhat less. One has to say a little bit of perspective is required here. People are obviously running scared of the Brexit and the Trump scenario, but they're very different scenarios. Back then, under both cases, it was always 50-50 for both. It was just that the financial markets decided to back one way and got it wrong. This time round, actually, Mrs. Le Pen has a very much bigger hill to climb to actually win. But the markets are basically been taking a lot of insurance out. We've driven the short-term two-year yield in Germany down to minus 0.96% this morning out of that fear factor. There has been some relief there, but I think one needs to combine it with what's been going on in the States, and specifically what happened in terms of the comments made by the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin yesterday. Because we've been waiting in markets and we've been running on hope of the Trump reflation trade, of the corporate tax rebates and the corporate tax plans and reforms. And now it appears, despite the fact that Mr. Trump said just 3 weeks ago he would be making some big announcements this week on corporate tax, Mr. Mnuchin basically said yesterday it's likely to be August before we present our corporate tax plans. And on the fiscal stimulus, on the infrastructure spending, he's now put that back to 2018, for which for a lot of people you start to ask the question, well, will it then ever happen if it's we're going to wait till 2018? So part of the recovery in the euro is actually people starting to look at the dollar and saying, well, is Mr. Trump, after all, going to be so good for the dollar in terms of making the economy stronger and therefore allowing the US economy to outperform the rest of the world? So there are a number of factors here at work. And I think the worrying part that I still see is there's a the correlations that we've had and which we've relied on, and as much as I'm not overly keen on everything being correlated, but a lot of the things now are showing big disconnects. It's not just a question that they've become less correlated. For instance, you know, we've had this widening out in the French OAT spread over bonds, and notably in the recovery that we've seen in French government bonds this week, the spread actually hasn't narrowed. It's more a generalized trend to seeing a bit of a recovery in bonds, partly to do with end of month, which is coming up next week. But you've got this disconnect of widening spreads in France, reflecting that risk and concern also about Italy, without any shadow of a doubt. But on the other hand, in the ITRAX crossover index of corporate credit, you've had barely any movement at all. And yet the irony of the fact is, if you look at the structure of overall corporate issuance in euros in Europe, France is one of the biggest issuers. And yet we seem to be worried about Le Pen as far as government bonds go, but not as far as corporate bonds go. How on earth can that actually be logical? So there's some disconnects here which one has to sort of consider and think, well, where are the risks? Because at the same time that we've got all these worries about political risks in the world, if you look at JP Morgan's emerging market bond spread, foreign currency bonds issued by emerging market sovereigns, that's actually at its cyclical low. It's never been tighter. Are we worried about all this geopolitics? Are we worried about rising interest? Apparently not. We're just carrying on reaching for yield. And so you've got this sort of, on the one hand, fear factors emerging in some things, but in other things, you just seem to see, oh, well, just buy everything.
Well, Mark, the conundrum continues. Mark Oswald, strategist at ADM Investor Service. Thank you for coming in today.